Rock Hour of Will the Attach begins now. The 9 o'clock, easy for me to say, hour ended with news from New York or New Jersey. Florham Park, I guess, is where their headquarters are. That the New York Jets and Robert Saleh, their head coach, have hired ex-Packers offensive coordinator, ex-Broncos head coach, and more importantly, Aaron Rodgers' consigliere, Nathaniel Hackett, as their new offensive coordinator. Tausch, before I give my percentage change, because I want to ask people what theirs was and now is. What was yours before the show started today that Aaron Rodgers would be playing for someone other than the Green Bay Packers? What percentage did you put that at before? And where do you put it at now? Because last year when there was all this stuff, and you can go back on Wisconsin On Demand if you have that much time on your hands and hear us, but we never really truly believed. We acknowledged the possibility. And even when the Broncos hired Nathaniel Hackett, we were still skeptical. I always get bullish and bearish mixed up. I did not expect him to be traded. I did not think. I said he would cave, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Turned out to be the case.
Yeah.
So, my percentage was always low until this year. And it has been higher this year than it was in the past. I think that's the same for you.
Correct.
But where was it about 20 minutes ago, and where is it now?
Yeah, it hasn't changed a ton with that news. So, I think looking at it, I felt like he was not going to retire after he signed the big extension, and even with the way the season was playing out. And maybe he'll shock everybody and just say, no, I'm done. I don't think that's going to be the case.
I don't either.
Up until his appearance on McAfee two Tuesdays ago, I would have said 80% he's back in Green Bay. 80, 85%.
Yeah, I'm with you. Totally with
then,
you.
Then all of a sudden, you just felt a sea change with the way he was discussing it. And a little bit of it happened after that Bears game or the Eagles game when he started talking about it's got to be mutual and all
correct.
This other stuff. So it just continued to drip, drip. And then when he came out there, it 50-50'd me. I said, wow, something happened. Again, not to rehash, but something happened in that exit meeting Aaron didn't like and started opening up to the possibility that he wasn't going to be here. Because he still controls the cards, as I've said all week, and as everybody can tell with the way the contract is structured, he still needs to okay and sign off on anything that is going to be done by the Green Bay Packers. But it just felt different. And then listening this week in the same respect and all of this gratitude and all the other stuff that he is talking about, it almost felt like a prelude to a goodbye. That's how I interpreted it. Not saying I'm right, just saying that's how I interpreted it. And now, with the Nathaniel Hackett news, it really didn't move it much for me in the grand scheme of things, but it just keeps kind of reiterating that this is more likely than it's not. And that doesn't mean the thing we've learned in watching the Aaron Rodgers sagas unfold is that things are fluid. He's always kind of stuck to, and we always just felt like the default mechanism is always going to be come back, it's comfortable. You control things. You're going to be back in Green Bay. I felt like when the draft, that whole news and all that stuff broke with the 49ers and the Broncos, that was, wow, this actually could happen. Since then, and since the Packers came out and said, we're not trading him, we're not doing this, okay, they're not going to trade him. Haven't heard that. Matter of fact, I've been hearing leaks from all of the big folks.
Leaky.
That both sides are at least imploring, and then, well, it's AFC only. And all of that has gotten me to this 70-30, because there's a big part of me that won't take the cheese, but there's a lot of cheese getting thrown out.
A lot of cheese.
There's more cheese. It used to just be a little baby block that mouse would kind of squibble over, and I don't want to get my head snapped off again. So I want to kind of stay back, but now there's blocks of cheese coming out. And that's making me think, and just listening to Aaron, and understanding how he operates, I just feel like it's more likely than not that at some point this thing does happen. And I can't believe I'm saying that, But with Jordan Love's development, I think Green Bay feeling better about it and not having that desperation quenching, I'm not going to let you go. I don't feel that. I don't think Aaron feels that. And I think that's why Aaron feels like it's time for him to potentially move on. Maybe he just doesn't have that gumption to say, I want to do that. I'm going to force your hand and I'm going to keep playing. And then I don't know if anybody's going to be happy. So I think 70-30 is where I'm coming in, and the Hackett news doesn't move the needle. I already kind of baked that into the cake.
All right, so here's my thought process on it. And we're, you know, there's not a whole lot of times when we're in such lockstep agreement, but I think I might even be higher than you now because of this.
Whoa.
Yeah. Ooh. And I was lower before this.
Oh, Hackett moved the needle for you.
He did. He did in a big way. And so, look, I don't, there's part of me, and I don't know, I don't have anybody at ESPN Wisconsin that I feel this way about, largely because I don't leave my basement and I don't interact with most of my teammates, even though I love them, on a day-to-day basis like others do. But at every workplace, there's that person that just feels like they're never really happy unless they're complaining about work. And I sometimes wonder if Aaron Rodgers is that guy at 1265 Lombardi Avenue. And it seems to me that Nathaniel Hackett was always, and Tom Clements before that, was always kind of the guy that no matter how frustrated he was with the GM, the head coach, whoever, that guy always, he was the good cop, right? Always. And Nathaniel Hackett as a head coach, I wondered, okay, but is he going to have some of the same issues that he had with Matt LaFleur or Mike McCarthy, etc.? This is different. Offensive coordinator would be the play caller, obviously, because Robert Saleh is a defensive guy. But this moves the needle for me a lot. I went into this, and I kept hearing my own voice saying, I think Rodgers is going to cave from past years. And I still thought that. But I thought because of everything you said about these meetings and how Rodgers has talked the last 2 weeks on McAfee, I was standing with another dad last night after basketball practice. I went to pick up Maddie at gymnastics practice, and this dad wanted to put a wager on a certain wagering site about whether Rodgers was going to be a Packer next year or not. And he wanted me to, and I'm like, look, I'm not a bettor. I don't want you to make a bet based on my advice. But for the first time in this 3-year saga, I really think it's a coin flip. I think it's 50-50. Which I have, and I said, look, last year I was like 85-15, just like you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think I might be at 80-20.
80-20 that he gets traded.
That he's playing somewhere else next year. Maybe 75-25.
Okay.
Because there is part of me that still clings to the idea that this is all, you could talk big. But making a major life change, whatever it is, you don't have to be a quarterback deciding you're playing somewhere. It can be getting married, having kids, buying a house. You know, Jesse's done two of those three so far in the last, 2 years? Like, those are really big life moments. And those are celebratory and they're awesome. But there's stress with that and there's uncertainty with that. And the idea of playing in New York instead of Green Bay, Wisconsin, where you've been for 18 years, that's a really big matzo ball out there. 80, and I still 20. Wonder if wow. he's got the matzo balls
yeah,
to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean,
I do wonder.
Yeah, all of the tea leaves are pointing this way. And again, we felt like with Rodgers, you just never know. But it is the fact that I think both of us are plus 70 and over that he's going to be traded.
And we're not overreactionary people,
not at all.
Tausch.
No, and I think understanding the comfortability and the fact that he caved and how that all played out last time, it's just this is different. And for me, I still hope that 30% wins out. I still believe that's the right move for the Green Bay Packers for next season. I don't know if it's the right move for the next 4 years. I'm only caring year to year. I go at this from a player's mentality and a veteran player's mentality. None of those veteran players want that. The young players might. And the organization might, because that gives you the best long term, but for next year and the chance to win. But again, I'm going to Eddie Lacy it. I just keep coming back to, but you didn't even make the playoffs and you're 8-9. And that's why I think that is another cog in why I believe this might actually happen, and I'm sticking with my 70-30 that he gets traded out of town.
All right, so...
Jesse, where are you at? What are you thinking? Because Jason blew my mind there. I thought he was going to stay uber hedgy and go fitty-fitty. But that for you, Hackett moved you 30 percentage points? Hackett moved you 30 percentage points?
At least 25, yeah.
Wow. That's a big precinct coming in. All right, Jesse, what do you got?
I'm totally the opposite of you guys. I'm 65-35 he stays.
Wow.
I don't think he's getting traded. I don't think Goody will survey the situation and say the best chance for us to win a Super Bowl in the next 4 years is for Aaron Rodgers to be gone. And I think that's as easy as that it comes down to. Like, if the current general manager of the Green Bay Packers thinks the best chance to win is with Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback, and Aaron Rodgers is content coming back and still trying to win a Super Bowl given the rest of the roster around him, which I think he'll be convinced of, or he'll convince himself of by the time the rubber hits the road, as you like to say.
I do like to say that, yeah.
I think that's where we're going to be. So I'm still 65-35 he comes back.
364 days ago, I tweeted out a clip from November of 2020. I know that's a lot of timeline for you to follow through there. I'm sorry. Of Aaron Rodgers talking about Nathaniel Hackett, because 364 days ago, Nathaniel Hackett was hired as the head coach of the Denver Broncos.
That was a short stint.
Indeed, it was. Shorter than Ray Rhodes's. So I think what he said on that day in 2020, which I tweeted out last year, 364 days ago, is germane today. Here is Aaron Rodgers talking about Nathaniel Hackett and what Hackett has meant to him.
In what ways does Hackett make a difference in this offense, and in what ways has he helped you both maybe from a schematic or playing standpoint, but also with his personality? Because you comment on that a lot, too.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's the number one thing. There's nobody in the building that brings me more joy or is more fun to be around than Nathaniel Hackett. You know, we got some great guys. You know.
Apparently, our internet has gone out in the middle of this clip.
Dynamite stuff there.
It is buffering.
Buffering?
Yeah, we got the circle spinning and everything. That's
so
wonderful.
Jason,
yeah.
Let's pull this.
That's good.
Let's pull this, and you put Jesse's up there.
Yeah, that's where I was headed.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Packer fans are going to be with us on this one. I do.
All right, I will get a poll in the field. You know, Prize Picks does more or less projections. That's kind of what we're doing.
Yeah.
If we set our Prize Picks projection at, are you more or less than 70% believing that Aaron Rodgers is playing for someone other than the Packers next year? Is that too high? I wouldn't be good at setting projections. Should
I
set lower?
You need to set it at 55-45 and say 55% that he's gone. Just a little bit over. And that gives you a good gauge as far as where people think.
Okay. Well, I can tell you this. If you took Joker last night, I hope you took the under.
Well, that's not how that works. That gets scrapped from the Prize Picks operation. And I knew yesterday when I opened my Prize Picks app, and there were no projections on Joker that he probably wasn't playing. And sure enough, he didn't. But I had Giannis, more. Klay Thompson, more. Good night for old T on Prize Picks. You guys can as well. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. Just told you mine. Looking forward to this weekend. You're getting the freebie with Joe Burrow, 0.5 yards. That is a freebie. Go more. And then parlay that bad boy up with something. You're going to be swimming. It's going to be beautiful. PrizePicks offers projections on any sport you're looking for. And again, you're not competing against me or Jesse. You're competing against the projections. That's it. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. Download the PrizePicks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up today. And don't forget to use the promo code WI if you want to get an instant match. So you put 100 in, PrizePicks gives you 100. So you have all that extra stuff. Again, go to prizepicks.com today to learn more.
Jesse will try to fix the internet because that is a very germane quote from Aaron Rodgers that I think people want to hear. We'll see if you get to hear it, and I'll put the poll in the field. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Really can't express enough how important he is to our team in so many ways. You know, he's incredible in front of a room. Hack has been a really important part of our culture. I love him. Hope he doesn't go anywhere, unless I do.
Hope he doesn't go anywhere, unless I do. That was in November of 2020. As you may recall, the Green Bay Packers earlier that year had selected Jordan Love in the draft. Aaron Rodgers was in the midst of his third overall and first of two back-to-back MVP seasons. So this really doesn't move the needle that much for you, Tausch, in the grand scheme of things, because your needle had been moved already.
Yeah, I had kind of baked that in. This has all been just on Rodgers' reaction the last 2 weeks. It just has been different. It's not about what he wants now as much as it's about, you just get the sense that whether it's those five or six guys he's talking about, I don't feel like he feels like he's wanted as much in Green Bay as I think he wants to feel. So that's another piece to this puzzle. And just listening again, just hearing what he's saying and listening, that's why I think it's more. And then all of these other things. You knew that Nathaniel Hackett was more than likely going to get a gig somewhere, and all of those quotes that you just put up on Twitter, A-Rod really likes Nathaniel. But he, you know what? He also liked Alex Van Pelt, but this doesn't feel as big as the Tom Clements hire last year because that was out of left field. You knew what was happening. This, I don't think A-Rod's saying, well, you know, Sal, if you hire Hackett, I'm coming. I don't think that's the case, but I'm sure Sala loved Hackett, wanted to bring him in, and this is just one of those byproducts. Boy, I hope this works out more than it is. This is going to be the piece that moves the needle in order to get Aaron Rodgers here.
So I don't want to spend all of today talking about coaching staffs, but Matt LaFleur decided to, as you like to say, run it back with his current staff. Mike McCarthy, Big Mike. Moving on from a host of coaches, we'll talk about that a little bit later in the program, but that includes Joe Philbin, one of his close friends, and Rob Davis, one of his close friends. So that's interesting that's going on there. Tausch, my question for you is, should we take anything from the fact that Matt LaFleur did not do anything / more, whatever it might have been, to have Nathaniel Hackett on his staff for 2023 and give him a chance to have that asset for having Aaron Rodgers on his roster in 2023?
Yeah, I mean, I think ahead he wanted that to be the case, and you started hearing rumors end of last season that Matt LaFleur was thinking about maybe giving up the play calling duties. And if he was going to do that, Nathaniel Hackett would have been a pretty good option. I think they feel pretty good, and obviously the red zone offense, which was his baby, the gold zone and all that stuff, was highly successful with him here, and Devontae, not so successful when it was not him and Devontae was in Vegas. So you could take that for what it's worth. But obviously Matt LaFleur feels really good about the staff and the way that the staff coached its players, or you make a move. I don't agree with it. I don't like the fact that he's standing pat, and maybe he's not, but for right now, you're seeing, if you're making these moves, you do it. You don't sit and then, in 3 weeks, do it. There's a lot of coaches that are free agents that are, you know, looking for jobs, and if you're going to move and do something, you would have done it. Matt has not, and I think from a fan standpoint, you look at it and say, okay, well, that means it's a player deal. It's not me. It's not my staff. We coached. The players didn't execute. That's what that is telling me when you decide to kind of stand pat after a season that has been a mark, really disappointing on everybody's front.
844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. I acknowledge the Rodgers fatigue. I know for some of you it's there. I think this is a big deal. We knew it was a possibility, Tausch. And I really like Nathaniel Hackett. Our kids went to school together. I really like him. I think he's a great dude. And I do think he's a good coach regardless of how things played out in Denver. I don't want to besmirch his coaching and make it sound like people are only hiring him so they can get Aaron Rodgers. Because I think that's a crummy thing to do. But do I think that both of his hires, it's not just a coincidence that those teams were already being linked to Aaron Rodgers before they hired him? I don't think that's just a coincidence. Do you?
Well, if that's the case, you're a crappy organization. I'm telling you that right now. If that's how you're doing business, that's why you stink.
Well, if the shoe fits... Right?
I think Denver knew they were going to get Russell Wilson before they hired Nathaniel Hackett. That's what I think.
Well,
and that was obviously a huge mistake on both.
Not the Russell Wilson they thought they were getting. 844-770-3776. We'll take your thoughts on this, and if it's changed, I am still working to put together the poll question, just like Jesse is working to get the internet functioning again properly. Did you need to call Derek Blakesley?
Nah, we're told it's a Twitter issue. Tausch, you might want to get Musk on the phone. It's apparently a Twitter issue because I tried recruiting help.
Like my Twitter's still working fine.
Twitter is working. If this particular audio clip only works up until 24 seconds in on anyone who logs into Twitter and tries to listen to it. Oh, right?
Is that right? Replying to the tweet saying that?
You're supposed to not click on links. Anyways.
No, that's phishing, which is a whole different thing.
Okay. We're going to shift gears entirely. Take a break from the Aaron Rodgers talk. For those of you that always clamor for Bucks talk, our Bucks buddy. When's the last time we talked to Justin Garcia? It's been a while.
His voice was booming as I was snooping in a bathroom operation. So I heard him all over the place last night.
But he wasn't in the bathroom. It was just his voice.
Definitely it was not JG, no.
So JG will join us coming up next. Want to remind you, it's snowing up here in Green Bay. I don't know, are you guys getting any snow in Milwaukee, Tausch?
I don't know. I'm in a basement. I'm down. I can't see.
Fair enough. It's not enough to get the errant snow thrower out, although some would argue that I haven't really deemed any snow accumulation enough. But when it comes, and when that snowstorm hits, I will be ready, and you will be as well if you've got your Aaron's snow thrower parked in your garage. It's ready for whatever Mother Nature dishes out. Go to Aaron's.com. Check out all the new models they have. Find the right one that fits your budget and fits your needs. Aaron's, quality and comfort beyond expectations. Justin Garcia, our Bucks buddy, and the color analyst for the Bucks Radio Network this year, is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
The Bucks don't stop here. Milwaukee Bucks, green and growing, better each year.
This song. I mean, JG brings it every time he joins us, and he's doing an outstanding job. with Dave Kane on the call on the Bucks Radio Network, which of course includes 620 WTMJ and 100.5 ESPN Madison. But I think I even like the music better than I like my friend. Joining us now, it is our buddy Justin Garcia. Justin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. And I would actually agree with you. I like that music, too. It's a banger, as they say.
Takes you back. Takes you back. Green and growing. You spent a lot of time at the Fiserv Forum, obviously. Much of your life is spent there. Have you ever inadvertently walked in on anyone pooping in one of the bathrooms, like Tausch did yesterday?
So I was wondering what that discussion was in the text and missed the beginning of the show. I have not, but the closest I've come is so in the Bucks like media area downstairs where they have your media dining room and a work room, they have a bathroom nearby, but it is a questionable setup at best where there's two urinals and they're on opposing walls, but there's no shields. So as you walk into the bathroom and wait in line for the urinal, you are looking directly at somebody that's using it and facing you. So it's always the don't make eye contact, don't look, and it's weird. So I make a point to never use that one. I'll check to see if that's in use. If it is, if that's the only one that's open, I'm not using it, and I just walk right out.
We all have our strategies. Also, before we talk Bucks with you, you are a worldwide, well-versed in a variety of sports. Your expertise is the Bucks. People can catch you on the pregame show, on the postgame show, on the Bucks Radio Network, during the games, when you're calling them with Dave Kane, and, of course, Bucks Talk as well. But you spent a lot of time on the Packers Radio Network. You have a lot of history with that team. Where are you at on Aaron Rodgers right now?
Oh, I thought for a minute there you're asking me for a Royal Rumble preview, which, as you know, is Saturday.
That is your area of expertise, too, yes.
Yeah, it's one of them. I'm just kind of indifferent. I'm not to the point that everyone else is where you roll your eyes and you're done with him. Like, I recognize he still gives you your best chance to win, and I think what makes it even more difficult is watching the chemistry develop throughout the year, which I think everybody knew was going to be the case. It was going to be a slow burn with the young receivers, and they started to show some growth. But the team itself is just in an awkward spot. So my issue isn't so much with Aaron Rodgers. It's just the team doesn't really have an identity now. And part of that is the Aaron Rodgers dilemma. Part of it is you kept kind of going all in, and now you're at a point where it didn't work, and it would seem to be, look, the best thing to do is tear it down here. But as I just said, it's tough to do as long as you have Aaron Rodgers, because we went from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. Maybe it happens again with Jordan Love, but the odds aren't great that, you know, sooner or later that carousel is going to end, and that's just tough to walk away from.
All right, let's talk about the Bucks. You obviously do have that area of expertise, unless... I wasn't planning on a Royal Rumble preview, but it sounds like that's something you'd like to share with us.
Well, I mean, I don't want to force it on you. I feel like it's something we'd have to get Gabe Neitzel involved with.
Yeah, I'm not interested, so thank you.
Yeah, well,
thanks for saying no.
Yeah, thank you, JG.
And speaking of not interested, too, here I thought we were friends, and Tausch is apparently at the Bucks game last night and doesn't even stop by to say hi.
Oh, no, that's got
to
hurt.
I listened to you. You were fantastic. I'm not going to come in your... We showed up late because... what are we going to do about this? It came to why, obviously, Giannis and Chris, everybody played. I mean, Bobby Portis is out, but I wanted to watch Joker last night, and he's not there, and the Nuggets play, you know, sit four starters. Is there any solution that you, as a NBA expert and aficionado, have? Because I think fans are getting really sick and tired of this.
Yeah, it wasn't great. I mean, look, I'm not going to complain as a team that's been on the other end of it for most of the season. But it's disappointing when you see not only no Jokic versus Giannis, but as you mentioned, four starters. I mean, if you knew a member of the Denver Nuggets, the odds are they didn't play in the game last night. We're seeing it more and more. I mean, you go back to last week in Cleveland where Cavaliers fans on back-to-back nights, saw the Warriors sit basically everyone, and then saw the Bucks with no Giannis, no Chris Middleton, and no Drew Holiday. And it's just popping up more and more. I saw somebody mention, too, that a handful of years ago, you had around 18 to 20 All-Stars within the last 6 to 7 years, played in at least 77 games a year, and it's been none the last few years. So, you know, we talked about beginning of the year, you know Giannis is going to miss 12 to 15 games a year, and that's becoming the norm for most of these guys. Look what the Clippers are doing, too, with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Jokic is an Iron Man, so it's rare to not see Nikola Jokic because he plays in the high 70s to 80 games a year. This is more of on the league of – they made a big deal of this week is rivalry week. Even though the scheduling is not 100% consistent with rivalries and you have weird games thrown in there, so I don't get it on that front. But also, why would you schedule – why wouldn't you put more attention on the last two players to win the MVP going head-to-head? And why would you schedule the Nuggets night two of a back-to-back for that game against Giannis where you're basically saying, okay, we understand – nobody's going to play in that game. That's the big problem with the league and their scheduling. And I know they'll point to, we share the arenas, a lot of these buildings with NHL teams and concerts, so it's not quite as easy. I was actually talking about this last night with Dave Kane and some people from the Nuggets, too. The only real solution, it seems like, is
lengthen the season.
Get rid of the preseason because nobody really uses it anyway. Mm-hmm. Get rid of preseason games. Start the season a little bit earlier so you're using that calendar.
Yes.
And eliminate back-to-backs altogether. So your
season
is a little bit more time, but you're not playing back-to-back nights.
My guy, JG.
Well,
Hey, this is exactly what I just said.
No, it's not, because you never came up with eliminating the preseason.
I said
that's
start
a key
the
component.
Season in September. Yeah, you lengthen it out. Yeah, you play 2 games a week, 3 games a week, no back-to-backs.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
JG and I are on the same page.
School starts, NBA starts. School's out, NBA's out.
Yes, it's just like you're a school teacher. Mm. Same exact schedule. You get the summer off, enjoy yourself, blah, 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 blah. JG, how concerned, you know, Giannis missed a bunch of time. And he's back. He played Monday. He played last night. But is there a concern level with his knee? Is this something that they're going to continue to monitor? You know, I know they're going to rest him up, but do we need to be concerned about this, or is this just this is just where Giannis is at in his career?
Well, I think it's more of the latter. I mean, we have asked Coach Budenholzer about it in that, 10-day to 2-week stretch that Giannis wasn't playing about, you know, we kind of assumed this would be a 2 games thing, and yet here we are. I think it was 5 consecutive that he missed. So is there something more to worry about? And he maintained, no, it's just kind of the usual that we know this is what we need to do with Giannis, where there's these patches throughout the year that you'll see where the schedule lies and where you can buy some more time off. And they do that for him. He played 67 games last year, so he missed 15. He missed 11 games the year prior to that, 9 games the year prior, 10 prior to that. So it's consistently been 10 games. Last year was the real, well, this is a lot for him in terms of, you know, the 15. But I think that's what you're looking at is each year he's going to miss 15-ish games, and it's knock on wood, and that's just kind of let's limit the back-to-backs that he plays at that midpoint of the season, and let's try to find some of these pockets where we have maybe 3 days off. We're traveling, so if he sits for these 2 games, it's like 10 days that he's getting off. I think that's kind of where we're at, and that's what the organization has maintained all along. And I do think it's interesting too for, you know, I get the fan aspect that it's certainly not ideal to show up to these games and not know who's playing. But there was an interview that was earlier in the week from Meadowlark where they had an injury expert on, and somebody from the medical field, I forget what his exact title was, but he pinpointed the Bucks specifically and said, you know, a lot has changed with the league and everybody points to stars used to play a lot. I mean, we also used to smoke when we were pregnant, and nobody batted an eye at that before you learned, yeah, this is a little different. Guys are running around more. It's different than it was in the 90s and early 2000s, where it was more half court. Guys are putting miles on their body each game. So he singled out the Bucks and said the way they build in this rest and the way they treat their players' bodies, that's what I would point to as the model for how to do things in the league. I know that's not what the fans would point to for the model, but at least medical experts are saying, yeah, this is what you want to do with buying rest and finding some of those off days for your guys.
Talking with our Bucks buddy, Justin Garcia from the Bucks Radio Network on Wilde and Tausch. Justin, as an avid listener, probably more than your closer friends and family members listen to you, because I'm in the car so much during your broadcasts, this has been a rough year injury-wise, right? We've seen Chris Middleton miss a bunch of time. Now Bobby Portis is on the shelf. Tausch just asked you about Giannis. How has that affected this team's, for lack of a better term, inconsistency? And how do you see the coming weeks with the All-Star break not that far away, et cetera? How do you see this team shaping up when it has had these, you know, Jrue Holiday has missed some time? Has it been a really challenging season for them to get to where they really wanted to be at this point in the year because of all that?
Yeah, it is. I think it has been more challenging than last year, and it's really three straight years of this challenge, where the year they won the championship, you had the challenge of starting 2 months after the season ended, and there was a lot of turnover on that team, too. 50% of the roster was new players, so you were learning each other throughout the season. The following year, last year, Brooke Lopez goes down
right
in game two and misses, what, 70% of the season. He doesn't come back until March. That changed their defense, where we saw that slide to mediocre for really most of the season, and it really put more stress on Giannis that he had to play center a lot more in the regular season. This year, it's, I think, been even worse because, similar to the Brook Lopez discussion and everything he held together defensively, Chris Middleton does a lot of that on offense, and he gives you a defensive boost too. But, you know, you just look at guys that had their struggles earlier in the season, guys like Grayson Allen, who was kind of the whipping boy last year in the playoffs too. His role changes when Chris Middleton isn't on the floor. And Bud kind of addressed this early in season two of, with no Chris, we need Grayson Allen to distribute more and to be a facilitator and to be the guy that's getting into the lane and finding open guys and not just catch the ball, shoot the ball like they were asking him to do last year when he had a career year. So his role changed. Bobby Portis's role changed for a similar way, that it wasn't just, hey, Bobby, go out there and score. We need you to do a lot more stuff. So his absence has been big. We mentioned that Giannis has already, you know, missed 15 games this season, so you've had him in and out of the lineup. Jrue Holiday and Bobby Portis have really been the two consistencies, and Brook Lopez. But, you know, you need more than that. So I think you look at things, too, like man games lost to injury. For a while, the Bucks were the leaders in the league. They're down to about fifth or sixth now. But what stands out to me is when you look at the playoff picture, the 1-6 teams, it's the Heat, the Cavs, and the Bucks who have just been decimated by injuries if you look at the amount of games players have missed due to injury. The Heat are second in the league. The Cavs are third in the league. The Bucks were somewhere between sixth and seventh in all of basketball. So those three teams have really been decimated. And here are the Bucks, three games out of the number one seed, a half game back of the Sixers for second. The other three teams, the Sixers, the Celtics, and the Nets, they've been really, really fortunate with their health. And I know Philly had a stretch where both Tyrese Maxey and James Harden were out at the same time, but that was it. Brooklyn's injury issues are right now with no Kevin Durant. And, you know, there was a tweet that went viral last week of a Celtics reporter saying, hey, this shows off their depth. Look at all the games that they've missed, guys. But it's been like two or three games. Boston right now is 24th in the league in terms of games missed to injury. So it's way towards the bottom. They've been very fortunate, and that's part of why they've been towards the top. So in the second half, you would assume that stuff's going to start to turn for all six of those teams, maybe not aggressively, but I do look for a boost from teams like the Bucks, the Cavs, and potentially the Heat, while really the Sixers and Nets are the two teams I'm most interested to see. What type of regression do we see in the second half because of their health early in the season?
Justin, real quick before we let you go, 5 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist in 27 minutes for Joe Ingles Wilder. What impact has he had, and what impact do you expect him to have going forward? He's become one of our favorites on the show.
Yeah, he's really good. I think he's going to be one of their closers. I think what you saw last night of the five-man group of Giannis, Chris, Drew, and then Joe Ingles and Pat Connaughton, barring what they do at the trade deadline, I think that's going to be a closing group you see quite a bit, that just gives you a lot of versatility. And Joe's basically their point guard at this point. So you see he's just a no-nonsense guy, and I know he had a turnover last night on a frustrating pass, but for the most part, that doesn't happen, and that's what this team needs because turnovers have been an issue all season. He's just so good with the basketball and making those connective passes that lead to a basket. The offense hasn't had anything like that in my memory. And defensively, you know, you look at him and you say, well, how's this guy going to hold up? But he just has that old man game and that veteran savvy where, you know, last night we saw him giving fits defensively to a number of guys on the perimeter. Bones Highland, a guy that's younger and quicker than him, Joe Ingles was staying with him and really frustrated him defensively. So he just brings that knowledge and that veteran old man game where he can hold up. And he's been, I think, very, very good for this team.
God, that's such a great description for those of us that know what that means from pickup ball. Hey, buddy, enjoy the Royal Rumble. We always appreciate you making time for us, and I'm sure there'll be more asks down the road. Thanks, bud.
No problem. So Sami Zayn or Cody Rhodes, which one do you think it's going to be?
I don't know who those people are.
That is our Bucks buddy, Justin Garcia. You can hear him not only on the Bucks broadcasts, but certainly after, before those games, and on Bucks Talk across these stations. More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com. Baby, just a little loco. Emotions like a yo-yo.
I sincerely do not mean to sound rude, but man, your polls are always so confusing to me. Feels like I have to decipher a puzzle to understand what you're getting at.
Very, very, very frustrating.
Okay, I'm going to read this poll. You tell me if it's that confusing. Both Mark Tauscher and I were skeptical in past years that Aaron Rodgers would play elsewhere. But given his tone of late and the Hackett news, we've changed our tunes. So are you more or less than 55-45 that Rodgers plays for someone else in 2023? Is that...
Confusing. No, I mean, okay. It would probably be easier because everybody just... Your brain kind of goes 50-50. I want to skew it a little bit.
Yeah, you did, and I did that at your behest, and apparently I confused.
Maybe that's too confusing. I don't know.
I think we maybe should have said that 55 meant he was going somewhere, and maybe that would have helped.
Well, that's why someone else is in all capital letters. Anyway, be that as it may,
how do you
right
like
now,
your polls critiqued like this?
I'm fine with that. I just don't think it's confusing.
It's not confusing, but... If people say it's confusing to them, that's confusing to them. It's
just maybe that's on them.
Amen.
55-45 was where we drew the line. Lots of other people, I'm doing the same poll and the same show every day. No, not the same show. If you started the show, you heard about the bathroom incident at Fiserv Forum. If you missed it, it's worth checking out on Wisconsin On Demand, presented by Gruble Offices. One call, that's all. Thanks to David and his team for supporting the show and for supporting Wisconsin On Demand. Gruble Offices, one call, that's all. So are you more or less than 55-45 that Rodgers plays for someone else in 2023? 76% of you are more than 55-45. I said I was 75-25 or 80-20.
Not Jesse.
I'm not.
Well, you're the 24% then.
I can't believe we're here.
Neither
because
can I.
Last offseason, he signed the contract.
None of us are here. We're all in different places.
I thought we were in a good place last February, that he signed the contract, finishing in Green Bay. We're not doing this every offseason.
But we are. But we are.
How does this happen? Just one bad season where they miss the playoffs and finish under 500? That's what leads to all this, or what?
Aaron Rodgers has all. He's a complicated fella. That's how we're here.
He's a complicated fella.
No, you're right.
As I said yesterday, if Aaron Rodgers had said at any point during this season, or he said it in June,
Had he said what he said in June and December, we wouldn't be here. But old boy wants us to be here. That's why we're here. So you can get mad at us. You can get mad at Greeny. You can get mad at everybody. Aaron has every right to handle his business the way he wants to handle it. Everybody has, and he has said this on McAfee, everybody can criticize him. That's fair. It's all fair game. But he has pulled something off that I don't know any player that's been able to do it. Peyton couldn't. Brady, I guess, kind of did. Where you control your own destiny as far as where and when you want to play. Nobody's been able to do it. Aaron Rodgers has put himself in a position to do it, and you don't have to like it. I know there's plenty of people that don't.
They don't.
From a player's standpoint, you better respect it because we all would love to have been able to do it. And I think everybody in their job would love to be able to do that. Now, do you need to handle it the way he has? No. But he's able to do it because he's been able to get leverage. And with all of this said, Jets hiring Hackett and all these other things, this is still Aaron Rodgers' decision to make. He does not have to accept the trade, and he can force the Green Bay Packers' hand to pay him. Or he can become an unrestricted free agent, and the Packers will take a monstrosity of a cap hit. That's how he structured it. Tip the cap to him to be able to do it. And if you want to be mad about it, you can be mad at Russ Ball and the Packers for allowing that structure to come into play.
Yep.
I ain't mad at anybody. And I want Aaron Rodgers to make a decision that he thinks is best for him. And I think the Packers now are in a position they feel like they can handle the loss of Aaron Rodgers. Whether or not that's true, that will be told in next year's edition of the Green Bay Packers.
One more time for the people in the cheap seats, though. Are we still in the same belief and of one mind that if we have to choose and we get to choose, we want Aaron Rodgers back in Green Bay more than we want him elsewhere?
I 1,000% want Aaron Rodgers
Me
back
too.
In Green Bay.
Yep, I'm
for
still
a lot
too.
Of reasons, but mainly because I think it's more intriguing. But I also think if you want to win next year, Aaron Rodgers is the guy. And again, Eddie Lacy.
Yeah.
They went 8-9 with him as the quarterback for 17 weeks. That is in account as well.
Jordan Love could have gone 8-9 and missed the playoffs. The 11 o'clock hour kicks off in 2 minutes, and it kicks off with Mike McCarthy not running it back with his coaching staff like the Packers are. It's Wilde and Tausch.